Welcome to the I Create Daily podcast. I'm Leora Alderson.
And I'm Devani Alderson. We're your co-hosts on this journey of creativity and productivity.
I Create Daily is for artists in every genre of creating, from musicians to writers, crafters to inventors, bloggers to entrepreneurs. I Create Daily is a movement for creators serious about your art.
If you're into creating anything, this podcast is definitely for you. Thank you so much for joining us on this journey. Hello and welcome to another I Create Daily coffee break episode. These are our somewhat shorter episodes where Leora and I talk about everything, pretty much. Ideas, people that inspire us, things we're up to, projects we're up to, random conversations we end up having and think are really good to record for the archives of the internet and you guys. And before we start, as you know, if you watch our videos or any of that, if you watch our video podcast, we almost always wear tank tops and
in the summer especially.
Not
because
in winter.
We like being comfortable and casual. We're recording from home.
Exactly. We're recording from home. We're casual. Like, we didn't really choose to do this life so that we could wear suits at home.
Definitely not. Definitely.
So anyhow.
And also because we like in between like working, we will take the dogs out for a walk. We'll get on the bikes and bike the hills, you know, so that we can get off the seat, so to speak. And get some exercise. And so we like the active lifestyle concept and being ready for it at any moment.
Exactly. So that's why we always wear tank tops. But today we're wearing special branded tank tops.
Yeah, so I'm wearing
Leora's wearing the I Heart Daily tank top. It's a gorgeous heart. And if you're just listening to the audio experience, well, the video experience has what it looks like.
Yeah.
And we have links in our show notes, of course. And it's just, it's a really pretty design. We love it, obviously. And I am wearing a photographer tank top. It's Lens Life Chose Me. And it has a lady holding a really awesome Canon camera.
And
for
Devani,
all you Nikon lovers,
and
it's
Devani
a Canon
came
camera.
Devani came up with that idea.
Yep. And they're racer backs. They're flowy. They're fun. They're great for summer. They're great for sporting and doing art.
And the I Heart Daily brand, by the way, is one of our domain names. And we do have a website that we purchased from somebody else. So we haven't had a chance to add content to it yet. But it will be one of the brands in our portfolio of brands that we will be developing further. And we just really loved the concept so much. And this beautiful heart t-shirt that we went ahead and made the tank tops out of.
Exactly.
As well as so
you can see those links in the show notes, but without further ado, we're going to jump into today's coffee break topic, which is about never giving up.
Yeah, so everybody knows the famous quote by Winston Churchill about never, 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 however many nevers he says, give up, never give up. And yet, you know, so then you have, like we talked about in our previous session, it's like always question things. It's like, is that really true? You know, because it isn't that you should never give up. There are times when you actually probably should, and we'll touch on that. But part of the reason we're doing this morning is I woke up with a bunch of ideas, and one of the concepts is like,
this is not a surprise.
right. I'm definitely an ideator. But one of the concepts, like when I wake up in the morning and I think of all that we have to do and how, you know, we're working so hard 7 days a week, much of the time growing because we're growing a family of brands all at once, which is kind of insane. But bottom line is at first when I wake up, it's like, oh my gosh, all that there is to do. And then as soon as I get into moving forward with the day, which I always begin with podcasts while I'm getting ready that help me get my mind right about, you know, what it is we're doing, why we're doing it, and all the possibility and potential. And so I have all these ideas. And so one of them this morning had to do with how things can just usually take longer than you expect. And this is really important for anyone building a brand, any creative building, you know, your art, your work in the world, whether you're an entrepreneur or creator, writer, author, whatever. If you don't keep going, you definitely will not arrive. So the only way to arrive and succeed is to keep on going.
What about those moments where you've been going for years and years and you're just not seeing what you're expecting to see? Like, when do you decide, well, this is not happening.
And so in our last coffee break session, we were talking about, you know, whether or not to bring attention to certain things to your audience up front, and we'll link to that. And so as we talked about in that, there is no one answer for anyone almost ever. And there is no one right answer for everyone all the time. Right. And so really the bottom line is it has to come down to what you feel in your heart. And we'll touch on some of the ways that you might identify for yourself as we go through this podcast. But the concept, so let me just talk about, so this is a session on perseverance and the value of that. And, you know, if you've been going for years, as you just mentioned, Ivani, and you haven't arrived at your goal, the questions you have to ask is, am I on the journey? Mm-hmm. Am I in the journey? Am I enjoying the process? And periodically come up for air and set your sights on,
well, it's
on
like,
your goals.
It's like one of the quotes we had in the Joy Quote article that was something like, if you don't find joy in the journey, how are you possibly going to find it when you arrive at where you're going.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if you don't enjoy getting there, how are you going to enjoy being there?
Right. And for the podcast audience, so you just recently published an article on joy quotes, mm-hmm. Which we will link to. So there's like 25 different joy quotes, some beautiful memes to share. So if you need some inspiration in your journey, then we'll link to that and you can hop over there and read some of those. So here's some examples. Here are some examples from our own life, and starting off with my examples. I have more of them when I'm older. So when I was little, like 6, 7, 8 years old, I always wanted a horse. I used to dream about horses, and definitely used to always want a horse. And that didn't happen. That didn't happen until I was 13. So it's like, eventually it happened, but it was years later. It's a desire that I set in motion, put out into the universe long, long before I ever knew anything about the principle of Think and Grow Rich and manifestation and the secret kind of concepts. But it was one of those longings that I had always had and always held on to. And just, it was still there then floating around in my consciousness. And
you still love horses.
And I still love horses. And horses. And I bought my own first horse when I was 13 for $150. It was a 3/4 draft horse. So he was huge and his gait was very, very rough. And the reason he was so cheap is because he was older, maybe I think 12 at the time. And I forget exactly the age, maybe a little bit younger than that, but he had an injury on his leg, his front leg. And so he would never be able to jump and, you know, do a lot of the things that some of the people when I was in 4-H, the horse side of 4-H. And so I couldn't do English classes with him and do jumps with him, but he was a great trail horse, just a, you know, overall, his name was Waimanalo. I grew up in Hawaii, so we used to ride him on the beach, and just so many years of wonderful experiences from that. But it took a while. So that was the point. Also, when I was little, I used to long for long hair. When I was really little, most little girls do, I used to long for long hair. My mom would always cut it short because it was the easiest thing for her. And then we went to Hawaii. And
she is so smart.
She was smart. We went to Hawaii, and there I was, this gangly, pimply white kid. And then there are always beautiful, brown-skinned, long, beautiful hair, Hawaiian women and women of all cultures. And, you know, again, I just definitely wanted long hair. And it just didn't happen. I was always in the ocean, and so the hair was always getting stressed and breaking off and all that. So it wasn't until in my 20s, that late 20s, that I actually finally was able to grow my hair long enough. And so now I still have long hair today
because
I really
funny,
don't know what else to do with it. It doesn't work. I tried it short and it really went, it was a bad idea.
That's such a you thing to say though. Oh my God, I don't know what else to do with it. So it's just going to be long hair. Your mom has long hair too.
Yeah.
It runs in the family.
Yeah. And for whatever reason, right? It's not like we ever had a conversation about it. It's just one of those things. And so it works for me. But those were things that took a long time to manifest. And those are like simple, silly things in a way, but there were still longings within. So the other thing that took a long time that we stuck with. So as most of you know, if you've been listening at all for any time, that Devani is adopted from India. And the long story made short, we will link to a story that tells more of it in the show notes. But for now, the short of the long story is that her father, Coleman, and I were in India volunteering with 4 teenagers for, you know, a third world kind of experience, a multicultural experience, an opportunity to serve others and to see what it's like, you know, in another part of the world, especially for those kids who are grown up in middle class comfort. And we didn't know where we were going to be volunteering at first. We just knew that we hoped it would have something to do with children because we were taking children with us to have an experience. We ended up volunteering at an orphanage, and the first few days after our arrival, we were told by the owner of the orphanage that while they hadn't had infants in their infant nursery for many, many months, we were staying in the infant nursery, something like a 20 by 20 room, all six of us on cots, that now they suddenly had three new infants arriving. So like only a few days after we arrived there, three new infants arrived in our room along with us, and we were caring for them. And Devani was one of them. And we had not had biological children of our own for whatever reason, it was unknown, and definitely wanted to parent. We had already been doing parenting classes, like studying about education and how it, and talking about how we wanted to raise kids, and it was just waiting for that to happen. And so there we were in India, and Devani was born. We were told that, you know, so we checked in with the orphanage directors, you know, asking if adoption might be a possibility. We were so naive. We had not done any of our pre-work because we didn't go thinking to India thinking we were going to adopt the child, nor did we have any idea that we were going to end up caring for infants while we were there. And then this happened. And so we spoke to the orphanage director and we said, you know, is it possible that we could adopt one of these children?
And in typical Indian fashion, they were like, yeah, no problem.
Yes, yes, it is possible. Actually, no, actually he didn't. It was like, oh, this is difficult. You know, international adoption is difficult. And, you know, the no problem issue can comes in a bit. And so, you know, it's like we were thinking, okay, well, I guess it wasn't meant to be. I guess that was not a great idea. And then the next morning, he came into our room very early and he says, show me, which one is your daughter? And we said, well, what is it? He says, it has come to me in the night. You must have this child. And so
that's very Indian.
And so we, you know, said, well, this is Devani, and we've actually, you know, already named her. And it was different.
That is the first thing. Whenever you find like stray animals or kids in orphanages,
when you know you want to keep them, you name them for sure. You name them for sure.
I mean, we named Zeus, our dog, our stray dog, before. It was like, by the end of this weekend, we'll find a situation for him. And then we proceeded to name him.
But you know, you're so much more than a stray dog.
I know.
But so anyway, I'm already going longer than I intended to on this, although it's a wonderful story and there's so many other nuances and intrigue and mystery. But we were told, and we thought, because oftentimes the way things work in India, it's who you know. And these orphanage directors were very, very well connected. And we thought, okay, it's, you know, and again, like I said, we were super naive. We didn't even know what we had to do on the US side, such as we had to get immigration, INS approval, and go through paperwork and social work and several visits by social workers to ascertain that we were qualified and responsible citizens, you know, the kind of thing that no one else typically has to do. They can just go out and have children. It never happens. I'm glad that they have, you know, anyway, that's not right. It's not the politics of that. It's not about that. But bottom line, we hadn't done any of that. And so like once you decide to adopt, whether it's domestically or internationally, you have months of work that has to be done ahead of time. So again, we hadn't done any. So we figured, we didn't know that, but we knew when we got back, we had a lot to learn and we had to hit the floor running. And meanwhile, the director of the orphanage said that they would keep Devani for us for when we got our things together at home. Actually, backing up a bit. So he told us that we would be able to adopt her and that she could come home with us. We were there for five more weeks and we just thought that that was going to happen. We, our people, our family at home, and everybody thought that we were going to be coming home with Devani. And that didn't happen. We found out, and it was getting closer and closer to time to leave. And we just kept saying, nothing has happened yet. You know, how is that?
Right.
And, you know, how is it
can't
that?
Can't just leave the country with a child.
We haven't heard anything. And then we just kept being told that, well, it's in the process. It's in process. It's in process. Well, it turns out she was not in a state that was yet licensed for international adoption. And so we couldn't even begin to bring her home. And none of us knew that. We don't fault the directors. They had their best intentions. And, you know, it's just a learning journey for all of us. when we left, we thought that it might take as much as 6 months to get her home. You know, like, oh my gosh, we've been caring for our baby now from infancy for the first 5 weeks of her life, and we had to leave her there. Boy, that was heart-wrenching. And so we figured, you know, and so we got home and we did all our work. We got all the social work stuff done day in and day out. We were like almost in touch with all the people involved, the orphanage people, the adoption people in the U.S. side, etc. And it took us 3 years to get her home. So all the time, all during that time, it's like at each point along the way, at each, you know, crisis point of, okay, next month we'll be hearing something. Next month comes and you don't hear anything. And it's next month again. No, it's 3 more months from now. What do you do? You know, meanwhile, yeah. This child is in the orphanage. Do you wait? Do you keep her basically in suspense and away from any possible family there? Or do you, you know, is this the wrong idea? And there's no way to know. There is no way to know what is the ultimate right thing to do. You just have to go with your heart, I think, in those cases. Because if we had known that it would take 3 years to get her home prior to setting that process in motion, we wouldn't have done it. And if we hadn't have done it, look what we'd have would have missed. You know, so we wouldn't have Daimon in our life. She wouldn't have the life that she has now. She would be cooking over a stove out in a field somewhere in India, most likely, meaning like a wood-burning stove, not even a stand-up stove in a kitchen based on the village that she came from. So none of that would have happened if we had two things. If we hadn't set it in motion, three things. If we had known how long it would take, we would have given up ahead of time. We would have released her and our desire.
Because that wasn't even the original intent.
And then, yeah, and what was the third thing? So it's like, oh, if we had given up, then this never would have happened. So it's like, you never know. You don't know. And that would be one of those examples where you just have to keep on going. So, yeah. You know, do you have anything to say on that before I move on to the next? Yeah. Are you glad we kept on going?
Yes. Depends on the... No, I'm just kidding.
Depends on the day.
No, I'm just kidding.
So the next thing was building...
Well, on that point, okay. I think, too, it's hard. It's even harder when, like, there's another life in play. Yeah. Like, it's easier to decide to either give up or keep going when you're the only one affected, whether it's the long struggle of adoption, right. Which is not only your struggle. Like, a lot of people who adopt internationally and nationally have those issues.
Right.
That it's just not a simple process, and you can understand why, because there's so much involved in that affects so many more people.
Yeah.
But with like brands or businesses and you're building a project, if it's only you, it's not as big of a deal because it's just like, okay, this only impacts me. Nobody else is affected. Mm-hmm. But if you're in a family and you're one of the providers or the only provider, it's like, well, do I keep going and hope this pans out, or do I create a reliable source of income and resources because I have a family that depends on my income, you know? And so it's so much harder when it affects other people, kind of, I think, to decide whether you keep going or stop.
Absolutely.
Because if you stop, it's like, is this me admitting failure and I didn't prove any results? So why would anybody put faith in me next time?
Right.
Or should I keep going and just keep digging deeper into this?
Right. And so let me just ask now, should we keep on going with this podcast? Because it's a coffee break session, which are usually shorter, and we've already gone longer. And we want to know, I guess, from the audiences, would you guys rather have it all in one and do the longer podcast or have several shorter segments? So tell us what you think, and we'll know for future. Meanwhile, for now, shall we keep on going?
Yeah, let's keep going. Okay. It's a really important topic that a lot of people struggle with, and I think there's no one answer.
That's right. So here's the other...
It's like a masterclass podcast on
failure
and...
It's a combination. Okay, so the other example, another example is we built a home, a vacation villa in Costa Rica. So again,
over Skype, it was really amazing seeing it.
Mostly through Skype. So again, this is another one of those really long stories that we're going to try and truncate down into snippet. You know, basically this is the Reader's Digest version, if you know what Reader's Digest is. So at any rate, back in 2004, 2005, we went to Costa Rica as a family and we fell in love with Costa Rica. It geographically, latitudinally, it's very much in the same latitude and longitude as Hawaii. And so it has very similar terrain and plants and just beauty and climate. It's not an island like Hawaii, it's an isthmus. So there's water on either side of it, but it's a long, slender Central American country. But we really wanted to, we knew that things were growing in Costa Rica as far as the popularity and the property values were on the hill up, on the ascent up to getting higher, but they definitely had not yet peaked, or so we thought. Meanwhile, this ties in with another kind of mindset thing that, you know, as well, and that is that, which we'll pick up more at the end of this episode, but it's the concept. One of the things that Coleman and I had done was we wanted to pull most all of our resources, our money out of the stock market, because we had already 2001, I think there was another 2004, 2003, there were like several stock market crashes, major crashes.
It was even before the 2008 housing.
It was because of 9/11, and then it was also around 2000, and I forget all the details, and It's just fine to leave those in the past. But other than to know that there were at least two major downturns of the stock market where we lost a significant amount of our resources by having it in the stock market, you know, as most people do, mutual fund or whatever you have, and also stocks that you purchased that you thought would be good. And so then we did the reactionary non-learner mindset thing of, you know, pulling it all out and saying, let's invest in Costa Rica because I know what happened in Hawaii. We were there early and then the prices skyrocketed, and that same thing is what's happening here. And it would have, except 2008. So what?
Pesky 2008. I think that's a year that everybody just likes scratching out of.
Poor 2008, right? You would hate to be the 2008
2008
year.
Is a person too.
I know, right?
You should treat it with respect, gosh darn it.
Right. So we bought more, and here's the thing. I mean, we did so many mistakes that were just so classic newbie kind of thing. And all the while we thought we were, you know, so smart and doing the right thing.
Isn't that the thing when you're in the middle of a mistake, you're like, gosh, I'm just so smart.
Yeah, you
and
think then you don't know.
And then looking back, you're like,
Yeah. So what we did is we bought shares in a boutique hotel that wasn't yet even finished in construction, because the other thing, we had been in real estate and we've been seeing how the best deals and the bigger investors were getting in early.
And you were doing pretty well with local real estate properties and rental properties. So the local real estate market was pretty good.
What we call little green houses. And so we thought, well, how can we get into these bigger deals and get in smarter, get in when it's earlier and it's cheaper? So we did that with a boutique hotel in Costa Rica, and that's a whole other episode we won't even get into, that has ended up being a real albatross. It's a wonderful hotel, but it was over leveraged, and we won't get, But we also bought some property. We bought 2 acres in a prime vacation touristy area that was one of the most popular in the country.
Like 5 minutes away from the hotel.
Yeah, 5 minutes from the hotel where we invested. And we were told, and it was very, very unusual to find such a large parcel in this particular area. And it was fantastic, had a fantastic view of the ocean, not on the ocean, because Costa Rica is like Hawaii, it's volcanically created. And so it has mountains and lots of black lava all the way down to the ocean in many cases. And so not a lot of beachfront access, which this particular boutique hotel does, by the way, Arenas del Mar, which is a fantastic resort, highly successful in its own way, and definitely recommended. But at any rate, we bought this property. It has the same, you know, basically ocean view. It's fantastic. We were told that there might be an issue with the previous owner making the local municipality who have to, give you the license and the permits. That's the word I was looking for to build. That there may be some some bad karma there. And so we hired a lawyer to do the due diligence on all of this, and everything looked hunky-dory before we finally did the final closing. So
again, like in India, everyone's like,
in India,
be fun.
Like
they're
in
just
India.
All glitch. Yeah. It'll be cool.
And we thought we did, in this case, we thought we did all the right things. Due diligence, we checked the municipality and, you know, people came back, yes, no problem, no problem. This would be no problem. And then it took us 3 years to break ground. So now, 2005.
Over like one little runoff stream and a dead tree trunk.
Well, sort of. Yeah. Well, and we'll, so.
I'm minimizing
but, so, but
it,
hang
but
on
it
a second.
A
2005. 3 years later is what? 2008. And so 2008 is when it is we finally were able to break ground. Meanwhile, all the costs of building materials had been steadily increasing in Costa Rica. And so it took us 3 full years to break in. So what Devon says with the relative to the tree and the stream, the municipality found all kinds of reasons why we shouldn't build, and they kept delaying and delaying and delaying.
And they were kind of basing it on the former owner, who was apparently, were they American?
Yes.
I don't remember. Yeah. They were an American owner, yeah. And they didn't do all the right steps and get all the right permitting before starting to do their building.
They didn't play by the rules.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And so they were like, oh, just another American person. But the difference is you were trying to go by the rules.
Well, they, yes. And so 3 years, and the excuse was because there was a tree that that didn't need to be cut down. There was just only one tree. We're in the rainforest, folks, and there was just one tree where the house needed to go.
And it was basically dead.
And it was basically dying, and they wouldn't let us cut it. So we finally, so 3 years later, we still were at the same roadblock basically. And we finally found another attorney, because we realized that the attorneys that were serving us were not serving us. And this other attorney came up with a brilliant idea. Okay, we won't cut the tree, we will move it. So I share that a little bit of a longer story because remember, there's always another way. There's almost always another way. And just like our getting Devani home, if we had left it up to the circumstance as things were going, it would never have happened. And I shudder to think. And so we basically took matters in our own hands and we went and got her. And that's another story we won't get into right now. But bottom line is, you know, don't just, if it's not working out, find another way. Yeah. And in terms of if you're working so hard for so long and it's not working out, then the way to prevent that in the first place is to steadily work, learn, and implement. And so set goals, step back, look at the big picture, then get back in the trenches. Step back. It's like the eagle eye view or the mountaintop view. Look at what where you're going, what the trajectory is versus where you want to go, and see if you're still on course, or if from that, you know, 30,000 foot view, do you need to pivot a little bit or make a detour or whatever else?
Well, that's why talking your ideas out loud or having a mastermind group or somebody to run ideas by who's a supporter and not just somebody who's going to say, oh, well, that doesn't work. Sorry for you. Like supportive people who you can run ideas by, because they might look at it and say, oh, well, what if you just try this thing? And yes, maybe that thing works.
Exactly. So important to surround yourself with people who are solution oriented, who are going to help you find your next level. Our mantra today has been, and we'll write about this, is the concept of leveling up. So it is setting your sights for your next level, your next vision. We did an article on that recently too, that actually this one for today. So it's the same one for today. It's the do more in less time basically article that we'll link. And it's talking about, so you, by leveling up to your next level, then you're not, we have to, here's Gary Vaynerchuk says it well. He says, feet in the ground, head in the clouds. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you have to keep your feet in the trenches and keep on going while keeping your head, you know, essentially above the clouds too, with a vision of where you're going, and ever level yourself up. So that's the one thing, and the other is leverage. So leveraging your time. And so where did I get to that from here? Oh, it's just the concept of thinking outside the box, thinking, you know, destroying the box. Just keep on working. Keep submitting it to your subconscious mind as well, to work on this problem while you're sleeping. Even like, how can we do it better? How can, like, you start out with, was it this podcast? You start out with the Tim Ferriss thing of, if this were simple. Oh no, you were telling me this.
Yeah. If this were simple, what would it look like? I first heard it on Tim Ferriss's podcast, and it was some podcast where he was talking about how he decides what projects to work on. And once he decides the project, how does he decide to go about executing it? And he just asks himself, what would this look like if it were simple? And so it's almost a really good visioning question, because to ask that question, to answer that question, you have to look at a completed project, and you have to kind of know where you're going a little bit. And then you were like, okay, well, how am I going to get from here to there in the quickest, easiest, simplest amount of time or effort or whatever, or a mix of all of that. And I think that it's always an important question to ask if you find yourself stuck. It's like, okay, you're stuck. But if this were easy, what would that be?
Yeah.
What would that easy be? And I don't think it's not about doing less work or being lazy. It's more just about, are you overcomplicating it? Because we're humans and sometimes we think that a complicated answer is the only right way, because how could it possibly be simple? But sometimes that's not the case.
Yeah. And then it's focusing on, again, leveling up in terms of your vision and in terms of your even talking about your problems. Like, it's so common for things not to work out and people to spend a tremendous amount of time and energy talking about what's not working. So instead of doing that, just simply sidestep that and focus on what will work, what can help, what can I do? You know, if this were simple, what would it look like and what can we do? We know what we can't, we know it's not working. We're not gonna waste our time there, because the moment we do, we're also in the past instead of in the present and leveling up to the future that we're moving toward. So that's the thing. So back to the Costa Rica thing. It took 4 complete years before the house Anjali, which we named after Devani, we began to wonder if there was a jinx in our family with 3, because it took 3 years to get her home. It took 3 years to break ground on starting the house. And her middle name is Anjali, which we named the villa after her middle name, Anjali.
And it's funny because all the locals call it Anjali. Because it's...
The J in Spanish. Cool. But Anjali is Sanskrit for heavenly angel. Oh, sorry, reverence for reverence. Devani is heavenly angel and Anjali is reverence. And it typically means also this position in dance. So if you're not seeing the video, then it's the namaskar position, hands together at the chest. That each time along the way, whether it was trying to get Devani home, whether it was building the villa in Costa Rica, it's like in Costa Rica, it was like, okay, we know what we can't do, but what can we do? And I just cannot imagine that it's not going to eventually work out.
And you had a great team too. The contractor who was helping you and his intern?
Yes.
Your team, like there were a lot of people helping in that situation.
And
there's
so glad
a lot
you
of great
that.
People who I'm, are who were rooting for you.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because it was the same in India. You know, it's like there were angels along the way, you know, and angels are sometimes out of body and sometimes they are in body. And there were definitely those guiding forces all along the way that helped to finally make it possible. And they couldn't have been doing their job and their roles and playing their contribution though if we had given up. And again, each time along the way, do we consider this a loss? Do we give up or do we keep on going? And really, if we had it, just giving up just never seemed like an option to me. The never, never, never give up. And hence, 4 years later, we had this most amazing vacation villa, which we absolutely loved and was just the most beautiful thing in the world. But now 4 years later, so much more had happened in our life. At that time, when we bought that property, we were actually thinking of moving our family to Costa Rica. And so, you know, when that didn't happen because of all those reasons, you know, then it's like, well, life has changed.
And a lot happens in 4 years when you set out to do a plan versus when it actually unfolds.
Yes.
As-
yeah. And right. And so we didn't stay stuck in, well, this is what we're doing, so therefore that's what we're going to do. It no longer fit with our lifestyle to move to Costa Rica. And so after a couple years of totally enjoying this beautiful vacation villa, we were fortunate enough to sell it even during the 2008 bubble burst. And while we didn't make the profit on it that we had hoped, we didn't lose money, which is more than so many people experienced down there. And we had this most amazing experience of bringing this vision to life that we all got to enjoy for quite a bit of time. And it never would have happened if we had given up. You know, but most people would, if it's taking 3 years just to break ground and it doesn't look like anything's going to happen. So this ties in with the failures I mentioned and the mindset.
And Gary Vee, by the way, talks about that a lot in terms of like persistence, like none of it, like we all know that it doesn't happen overnight, but sometimes we can underestimate how long it will really take, because to us, some 6 months is like in this day and age, 6 months is a long time to get something done in terms of how much innovation happens, how much your life can change.
Right.
Like 1 week sometimes feels like forever. We get through with a week and we're like, oh my God, a week has passed. And right. we've had this whole new idea that launched this new website. And, you know, yeah. like your life changes within those time spans. And so your plan, it doesn't make sense all the time for your plans to stay the same.
Right.
Or exactly the same.
Anyway. Right. So to that point, so one of the things like Coleman and I realized there are limited thinking mindset, and this perhaps might apply to some of you as well. Like when we pulled the money out of the stock market, well, that didn't work, you know, stock market's no good, you know, because we lost all this money there. And that was really limited thinking mindset as opposed to learner mindset. And since that time, again, long story, but because we're fast forwarding many years, Coleman is now an investment coach, meaning that he volunteer coaches other people. He's doing really well with his own portfolio. He's learned how to, he does primarily options trading, and he loves doing that, and he's doing really well with it. And all that came about because of the failures. And it was like, wait a minute, you know, we said very naively, let's pull our money out of the stock market because we lost tons of money. So that doesn't make sense, which is, and therefore it's no good. So what made me think about that is, I saw somebody make a comment just the other day. Recently, Google had a, an algorithm change, and literally just yesterday, our traffic on one of our sites has dropped by 35% through this algorithm
change.
Which
really sucks because revenue.
Exactly, and that's a revenue generating site, and suddenly 30%, 35% less traffic is coming, which means 35% less revenue. And it's like, wait a minute, we've been working so hard day in and day out, you know, why is that happening?
Google.
And looking at some of the comments, you know, in some of the SEO sites and such, some of the people were, you know, all of it was negative. And one person said, you know, I went from 80,000 a month to now almost pennies, you know, it's ridiculous. I am so out of here. I am so over this. And that struck me because again, that person was so ready to give up at the first sign of trouble. And
if you have 80,000 a month, I hope you have a lot saved up.
Right. Well, and I don't know. I mean, obviously I don't know that person. Yeah. So it may not have been the first sign. They may have been through several mm-hmm. of the Google analytic algorithm changes yeah. that resulted in continued dropped revenue, even though they were working so hard.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly that happened to us also when yeah. Facebook, number of times, another one of our sites, Facebook's algorithms changed numerous times, which resulted in literally about between one third to one fifth the amount of traffic that we were getting and therefore revenue yeah. on that site shortly after we bought it. So, you know, we've been through those things and they happen, but you just, you know, the fact that it doesn't work now doesn't mean that it's never going to work. And what that signals to us now, rather than it's useless, it's not going to work, mm-hmm. let's give up, rather it is now, what can we do to make it better? How can we make this work?
Yeah.
And so how do you decide? Like we're still going on, I guess we can always like split this in two if it ends up being too long. But John Lee Dumas talks about this a lot, and that is how it's so easy for people to get into the mindset of sunk cost. Can you go back just a little bit? That's okay. Okay. So the concept of how sometimes you know, like the country western quote of, is it a song? I think it is. Yeah, it's a song. You don't know what I'm going to say, but I think it's a Kenny Rogers song, and that is know when to hold them, know when to fold them. And it's like, that's hard. You know, there's no one way, there's no easy answer. And the sunk cost fallacy that Johnny Dumas talks about is like many people hold on too long because they're thinking, well, I've already put all this time and money into it. I'm not going to let it go. So you can decide, you know, like we could have said that about the time for Devani. We could have said that about the Costa Rica property. You know, we could have said, well, we've already spent all this time and money. We're not going to waste any more time. If we had, we never would have had Devani. We never would have had all those wonderful things in our life as a result of the Costa Rica villa. So you just have to decide for yourself, consider whether or not you're holding on too long, or consider whether there might be some solutions that you haven't yet considered or discussed. And here are two examples that show you two different examples of that. So do you remember the story, Devani, about the windshield wiper inventor?
Vaguely.
Okay, we should have looked that up before. We'll link it in the show notes.
I probably know enough.
There's a movie. Maybe while I start talking about it, you could look it up. But the man who invented the intermittent windshield wiper, there is a movie about him and his life. I normally love entrepreneurial, investor, inventor type, especially movies. I didn't want to watch this because it was way, way too sad the way that his life ended.
I think it's called Flash of Genius.
Yeah, that's it. Flash of Genius. And so,
it's a really depressing movie.
Yeah,
actually.
Well, did you watch it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Graham wanted to see it so bad, and I was like, I knew it was going to be depressing before we started it.
So,
and
it was. Okay.
But anyway, she
I didn't realize that. Somehow I missed that. So what was the bottom line was so sad is, like, he never gave up, to the point that he lost everything in his life and died a miserable man, broken man, alone.
And really alienated his family.
His family, lost his kids.
Who had supported him for a majority of the journey, but then they were finally like, dude, you're holding on to something way too long.
And it was like, bottom line, the car company, the automobile maker company to whom he sold the license or the opportunity to use this, whatever it was, whatever the details, I don't want to slaughter them. He had to take them to court, and he was convinced that he should, be reimbursed for all of this.
A corporation stole his idea, basically.
Okay, thank you.
And so he wanted to take them to court, and they stole his idea. I believe it was because they had they were going to have a deal where they would pay him, but then they invented something similar but different enough.
Yeah.
And so he wanted to take them to court because of that. And the problem was that obviously this one single man who's poured all his resources into this idea doesn't have the money to fight a corporation. And so, yes, was he wronged? Of course.
Wait a minute. We don't know, of course, because I do know the corporations do have their R&D departments working on things all the time. And that is a tricky thing. So for them as well. And that is that if they accept outside inventor ideas, they also are liable to, they're vulnerable because they may actually have something in development.
They didn't.
No. So they really built
it. It was like a revolutionary
idea. They cheated him.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that was, so there wasn't any real winners because this guy... And it sucks. Like when somebody else launches your idea, steals your idea, or is first to market before you in a fair way, even, it sucks. But it's like there's millions of ideas. So are you going to fight your entire life on one idea?
Yeah. And so that is the thing. Like if you're an ideator, inventor type, don't get too attached to your ideas, because the more ideas you implement or try to bring to life, the more ideas you'll have. And once you get into the flow of ideas, they're infinite. And so, but at any rate, the point in that was that guy never gave up, and he should have. So that was like, actually I shouldn't say that, because I can't speak for what he should have done, but at the cost, it cost him everything in life. In that case, I would say perhaps it would have been better for him and everyone in his life if he had given up.
Or switched course and did something else.
Yes, exactly.
Because if you're an inventor, you probably are going to tinker with something at some point and find something new.
Could be. But so meanwhile, so conversely, there's 3 feet from gold. You want to speak to that?
Oh, yes. So the 3 feet, if you haven't heard the story, it's about a guy. It's a true story, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a real story about a guy who was mining, and he found like this bit of gold. And so he was like, oh my gosh, if I keep following this bit of gold, I'm going to be rich, right? And so he's mining and mining, and they're mining for all this time, and they're not finding more gold. And so he puts his property on the market, and somebody buys it, and that person who bought the property was smart enough to hire an expert to tell him, a geologist to tell him, where should we start digging? And it turns out that because of the seismic activity and the tectonic plate shifting, the actual seam that the guy first found just shifted 3 feet from where they were digging. And so it was not his fault that the plate moved and his seam was moved, but had he gone to seek some help, he might have discovered, instead of just persisting on the same course, he might have discovered this gold. But what was really interesting, and what you don't really hear about in the popular story that's proliferated,
and there is a book, Three Feet from Gold, that we can link to as well.
Yeah, is that he was not resentful about the other man's success. Well, he might have been a little bit bitter at the time. We don't know. But he was not resentful to the point that he spent the rest of his life in this bitter state of jealousy because this other guy was just smarter at the time. He then went and became one of the top successful insurance salesmen.
Yes.
Property insurance or like possession insurance and salesmen. And he became very wealthy, helping people protect what they owned, which was like a really beautiful irony.
Yeah. So a couple things in that story. So the person who bought the property from the man who struck out 3 feet from gold did the thing we talked about earlier. He brought in an outside idea, an outside influencer, someone to think, help him think out of the box and explore something that hadn't been considered before.
And he didn't need to hold on to the idea that he had to have all the answers to be the success. I think that's a big, big thing. Like, we think that we have to have all the answers or we're not going to be successful because we don't have the answers to our success.
So he did that. And then the other thing that the other guy that struck out 3 feet from gold did is he didn't let that ruin his life. He learned the lesson and he applied it in his next endeavors and move on and prospered. So failure, again, is just simply there to strengthen our resolve to learn and grow and do better.
And it's for creative problem solving, because it's really what being in business is about. It's seeing an issue and saying, okay, how do I work my way around it? Yeah. And then how do I make some money being the one who invented another way around this issue?
Right. So given those, you know, juxtapositions of never giving up and then yes, perhaps you should, like, how can you know? You know, so how do we know and how do we decide for us when it is that we should keep on going or when it is that we should give up or redirect? And so back to what we said earlier, only you can decide for you. But here are some questions you want to go cover that. Some questions to ask yourself to help you decide that, to discern.
Yeah. And so, and these would be like good journal questions or pondering questions or pondering with yourself or talking to people who support your mission, seeing what their thoughts are too. Because I think another, just before we get to those questions, another important thing is the windshield wiper guy. If you have a support network, I think one good way to tell if you should keep going or not is if people who are very strongly supporting you all the way through your journey are seeing some faults and going, hey, you know, maybe this is not the right time, or maybe this is not, because they're not being negativists saying you should quit. Like, they've supported you, they've seen that you have potential, but they're saying maybe we should do something else now.
And that qualified by the fact that yes, if they were supporting you, if they are also a learner's mindset, if they are also growth oriented, and in particular, so a mastermind scenario would be good for that.
Yeah.
Then yes, definitely listen to them, listen to that feedback.
It's like Brene Brown says, she's like, if you're not in the arena getting your butt kicked too, then I don't want your opinion.
Yes.
So if they're in the arena getting their butt kicked too, then they might be the people to listen to.
Yeah.
So the questions to ask
yourself to help you decide.
So how do I decide when to keep going and when to give up? So one of the questions is, if I stop now, will I look back and wonder if I gave it my all? Am I giving it my all now? And do I want to give it my all? So do you want to expand on some of those?
Yeah. So, you know, that's the thing. It's like, I don't know if you've ever had this experience. Like, I've been at work, like a workout, for instance, I worked out at the gym. And at the time I thought, especially when I was working with a personal trainer, and it's like, she would push me so hard. And I think, I can't do it anymore. I just can't go further. This is all I can do. And then at the end of the workout, when I was no longer like exhausted and straining and, you know, turning red and feeling like I'm in pain. Yes. Then I think, was that really true? Did I really give it my all? Did I hold something back? And so that's one aspect of that. And only, again, only you can know for you. What I do know from having worked with a personal trainer and pushed and also learned how to push myself is that invariably I haven't. Invariably, I could give more. And typically, here's why. Let's say that we're like, I'm biking up the hill. Devani, we live in a neighborhood where it's a small neighborhood and cul-de-sac, but there are some hills that are great exercise for us on the bike. And so we try to get out there and bike up those hills through several rounds each day.
And some days it's crazy. Yeah. It's humid, it's hot, or yeah, it's freezing cold.
And so what happens is typically we get, as soon as when we start to feel tired, the physiological animal that represents our body tells us tired, rest, tired, stop. It's giving us a signal. And what we discover then is that we meaning the consciousness that is us, because that's really where we reside, is in our consciousness. It is up to our consciousness to tell our animal self, our lower self, the physical body, what it needs to do. So for instance, if the body signals to us that we're tired, that's just what it knows to do. So then it's up to us to signal back to the body that, no, you can go more. So instead of going up the hill pedaling and thinking, oh, I'm so tired, I'm so tired, I'm so tired, I've reversed that. And I go up the hill thinking, I am so strong, I am so strong, yeah, I am so strong. And that makes a world of difference. So that's just one example that, you know, is ask yourself, though, back to what we're really talking about. And that is, you know, ask yourself, are you spending more time thinking and talking about what's not working? Or are you spending more of your time doing the work, learning, implementing? So it's like learn, do, implement, learn, do, implement. And also problem solving, like, you know, masterminding with others about solutions that you may never have occurred to you because, again, you're too much in the trenches or in the forest, so to speak. Yeah. You don't have the big picture.
Outside opinion, I'll rephrase, correct outside opinion.
Well, informed outside opinion.
Right, yeah. Informed, people who are on the journey, again, people in the arena, giving those external input is really good. I mean, that's why a lot of people work well with personal trainers, because a personal trainer, assuming they're like the good personal trainer, they know these are your goals. This is what it's going to take to get there for your body. This is what we need to do. And they're really good at calling out like, hey, no, you didn't give it your all. I've seen your all and that's not it. You know, like they're good at doing that. Yeah. And that's their job. And so sometimes we need that too for our creative endeavors, for our business endeavors. We need that person who's like, you're not really giving it your all. You might think you are, but you're not. Yeah. You're just pissed off.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Yeah. So then, and then do back to the last of those three questions. So the second one was, am I giving it my all now? And I guess you could add to that, well, more do I need to do to give it my all? And then the last one is, do I want to give it my all? So if it's something that you love, you will want to give it your all. If you don't want to give your all, then maybe it isn't the thing. And so that's what you have to know. And here's the thing. It's absolutely okay to change your mind.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay to, like we were just talking about, and we'll talk about this in another coffee break session rather than getting into it now with Ryan Moran's change of direction. But
and our own changes of direction. Like, so many.
So many times. And it isn't a change. It is an evolution.
Yeah.
And that is that while you started out with one thing, you know, like something else may come along that you had no idea was actually the next better thing. And so really it's just ever opening up. Your horizon ever expands before you. So as you're on the journey, the horizon just continues to get wider and opens up newer opportunities that you don't have to, just like with the Costa Rica, like the opportunity was, we thought we would be living there. And if the house had been done the first year, we would have moved there and it would have been a totally different life for us at that point in time. Yeah. And that would have been fine. It would have been wonderful. But while we were working and waiting on building the house, other opportunities here opened up and unfolded that we needed to pursue.
And you really can't dwell. Once you decide, just decide.
Yeah,
like you don't waste time, you know, because if you're wasting, here's the thing. If you make a choice and then you waste time feeling sorry for the choice you made, then maybe you made the wrong choice.
Yeah.
And nobody's stopping you from not trying again.
Yes.
You know, like nobody's stopping you really from not trying again in a different way. Sometimes maybe you just need a break from doing what you're doing so that you can, like editing.
Yeah.
Like editing will work. It's so much easier to edit after you've slept and been away, done a different task, come back another day.
Come back fresh.
Come back fresh with new ideas. It's so much easier to edit. So maybe sometimes you just need to shift your mental direction because you've been working too much on the problem, that you're too vested in a specific path. And so you just have to step back. And so it's sort of like whatever you're dwelling on might be an indication that that's something you need to pursue because you're already spending so much time thinking about it.
Yeah.
And if you're feeling sorry about quote, giving up or making a change or doing something new, if you're feeling sorry about doing something new, then maybe you shouldn't have given up.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. And let's see, what was I going to say? Oh, darn, it came when you were talking. It's the concept of
dwelling, yeah. Trying again.
Shoot, it was, oh, okay, yes. Yes, it has to do with, so like that guy that, or whoever that wrote in that SEO article thing that I mentioned earlier about, I'm out of here.
Right.
Now, the person that says I'm out of here and gives up easily is also the person who's going to do that when it comes to relationships, when it comes to jobs. It's like, as soon as it gets hard, like the workout example, as soon as it gets hard, they are out of there. And what that means is they've missed that next opportunity for growth, for personal growth. So that's what we each have to decide for ourselves,
yeah.
But make sure that you've given it your best if it's something you really want to do, because when you give up easy with what's in front of you, then you're going to give up easy with the next thing and the next thing. And that means that you're also going to have more failures before you have success. So just be sure that you're clear on, you know, that you're in doing the thing that you want to do and that you're leaving it not because it got hard, but because you decided that you love something else more. So that's the way.
Because
let me just emphasize, will you remember what you said? I want to emphasize this point as we're bringing this to a close. And that is that when you're ready to bail on something, let it be because something else bigger and better is pulling you forward in a stronger way. And you're sure that you won't look back with regret that I didn't give it my all.
I mean, that's why we started iCreate Daily. It wasn't because we had all this time laying around to start a podcast and start writing articles every day.
Right.
It was not because we had all this free time that we just needed something to do.
Right.
It was like, this is good. This is a good momentum and will lead us to a lot. And it has led us to a lot of clarity around a lot of our other brands.
That's right.
Just from the fact of needing a daily structure and creating a daily structure around, and daily asking ourselves, like, is this the direction we want to go in? Because it's like when you're steering a ship, you have to constantly be like, are we going the right direction? Are we drifting? Are we, you know, is this the right course? Do we need a shift? You know, all those questions you have to ask too when building a brand. It's like, because it's your brand, but then you're also impacting other people. And are you wasting their time or are you providing value to them? Because that's a big part of the equation when you're providing content for others to consume. And so, to your point about is it pulling you forward, no matter what you decide is going to be hard. So don't give up because it's hard. Give up because you found a new hard that you actually like.
That you love more. That you love more if you can't do it all. So I think that this has been a long session. Let us know. Would you have rather this session to be broken up into about three parts? Or are you glad that we continued on even though this is a longer coffee break session?
Yes, because we'll use this for future knowledge.
Yes, definitely. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Start, sustain, succeed.
The day is the way. Okay. Thanks so much for joining us for the iCreate Daily podcast. Please let us know what creatives you would like us to interview and what topics you would be interested in hearing more about.
And if you enjoyed this show, please leave a review on iTunes. We value your feedback. We read all the reviews, and it just helps us get the word out on the iCreate Daily podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.